In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
In February, St. Thomas observes Black History Month. Now, there are some in our world who might ask, why? Why Black History Month? Why not Asian History Month? Why not White History Month? It's the same protest that was lodged in the wake of the Black Lives Matter movement, when some people, mostly non-black persons, would respond, all lives matter, and blue lives matter. And well, yes, they do. But there is a deep and tragic irony in these responses. The tragedy is this. We live in a world where white lives and white history are very clearly valued, but where the discriminatory policies, which began in the House of Burgesses in colonial Virginia before the United States was even formed, and continued blossoming forth into chattel slavery and Jim Crow and redlining and a continuing environment of formal and informal discrimination. American evangelical author Jim Wallace, among many others, refers to racism as America's original sin. Racism is one of those principalities and powers that we as Christians battle, one that is especially potent in America today. Racism is power and practice and policy that inhabits American culture and taints all of us who take part in that culture. It is a habit of deep injustice that is part of the water we swim in, part of the air we breathe, and that many of us, especially those who identify as white and enjoy the privilege associated with whiteness, will never notice unless we stop and look very carefully. Sort of like the way we look at Scripture. Fortunately, I believe that our scripture passages today have something to say to this original sin. I believe the scriptures hold good news for us today. Now, in our gospel this morning, Jesus says, "You are the salt of the world. You're not just the garlic of Glassboro, or the cumin of Clayton, or even the wasabi of Williamstown. You are the light," says Jesus, "of the cosmos, of the universe. And how silly it is to conceal the light that you have to offer by chaining it in church or hiding it in your home. If God is living in you, and you put a wicker basket over that flame, you're likely to burn down the entire house." Jesus goes on to say, "Don't think that I've come to abolish the Torah or the prophets. Those, in fact, are the media through which God cultivates that flame and makes it burn brighter." We talked about Torah last week. Did you hear the prophet today? False religion, unsalty salt, darkened light, is a religion that gives lip service to the Bible, that performs rituals and liturgies, that bows the head at the name of Jesus and wears fancy clothes to church while exploiting others and caring only for itself, while quarreling, squabbling, striking others with a wicked fist or with wicked policy. The brightly shining flame, though, the people whom God hears, the people who witness the presence of God in their lives, are a different kind of people. They are those who, the prophet tells us, smash the fetters of injustice, free those stuck in exploitative cycles of debt or bad employment, who liberate those oppressed by history or prejudice or inequality, who oppose every form of discrimination. The ones who witness God's response to their prayers are the ones who share food with the hungry, who provide shelter for the homeless, who give winter coats to those who lack them. The promise that we find in the prophet, the inside information that you would not have guessed, is that it is precisely in doing these things, these little acts of justice and mercy, that our eyes are opened, that we learn how to see God. Engaging in works of mercy is how we go seeking the presence of God. And this is good news. So our gospel passage this week ends with Jesus demanding of us a righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, of those professional students of the Bible who had a tradition of interpreting the Word of God as law. And I want to recognize two things about that. First, Jesus demands greater fidelity to the teachings of Scripture. And second, in that greater fidelity, there is even greater room for grace. This is more good news. So let's unpack it for a moment. Righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees is a righteousness that comes from the heart. It's not a righteousness that is concerned with checking off chores or obligations on a checklist. It's not as concerned with particular seasons and days and hours. Instead, it's a righteousness that understands the purpose of Scripture as formational, forming our hearts to be shaped like God's heart. Right? That's the purpose of Sunday school, formation hour, to form our hearts to reflect the heart of God. Because when our hearts are shaped that way, then whenever we encounter a circumstance in our lives that may not be addressed specifically in the Bible, we can make surprisingly accurate guesses about how God invites us to respond. And here's where the greater grace comes in. Now, a law of checkboxes keeps a record, right? Have I done more right or wrong today? Right? A person is righteous based on their history. It's kind of like your driving record or your credit score. Right, those things from the past, the mistakes you made in the past, continue to haunt you for years to come. But that kind of consistency is not what Jesus demands of us. That's the consistency demanded by those who are concerned with the keeping of rules and the keeping of the scorecard. But God doesn't play that game. God doesn't keep score. The scorecard was nailed to the cross with Jesus. And we were all declared winners. And so we're still playing the game. We're still involved. But the end has already been decided. And we are free to play for the joy of it. What then of righteousness? Every moment I start anew, making a decision for God or against God. Every moment I start anew making a decision for crossing boundaries or for fortifying them. Every moment I start anew making a decision for racial equality or for my own privilege. And every time I fail and make an unhelpful decision, it hurts. It's unfortunate. It hurts others. And it's not the end of the world. It's not game over. Instead, every time I mess up, God is standing there as if I'm a little child learning to walk, and my Heavenly Father gently reaches out to take my hand and utter an encouraging word and invite me to try again. My righteousness depends not on my performance, but solely on the love of God and the salvation that I discover in the death and resurrection of Jesus. My righteousness is not defined by what I did yesterday. It's not a trend that haunts me over time like a baseball pitcher's ERA. Yesterday's mistakes don't carry over. I am free to learn and to grow and to change and to try again. So here's the good news. To live as salt and to live as light does not mean to be responsible for perfectly eliminating all the impurity and all the darkness in the world. To be salt and to be light is simply to live into the moment that we have been given, to enact Torah, to enact the prophets, to fight against injustice, to work for reconciliation in our lives and in our spheres of influence. It means to practice the work of Kitchen of Hope and Family Promise, not out of a sense of obligation, but in the joyful recognition that in those little details of ministry, we are striking a blow for justice. We are not called to do work that is perfect and complete. We are simply called to be faithful with what we have and who we are. I think the same applies to racial reconciliation, right? We're not called to perfection, but to engagement, to learning, to growing. And for someone like me who identifies as white, that call is very often to listen, to learn, to be open to the challenging, convicting truths that I'm not very comfortable hearing. It is to acknowledge my own racism and to strive anew to live beyond it every day. Jesus says, you are salt. You are light. You have what you need to be those things today. It may take humility, it may take desire, it may take courage, but you have what you need. In our collect today, we ask God for the liberty of that abundant love which you have made known to us in your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Liberty. Liberty to be imperfect. Liberty to shine with an unfinished, unrefined passion. To live our faith with gusto. To make mistakes. To be forgiven. And to try again. Celebrating Black History Month is just one example of how we as a people might try to tie together preaching and action, liturgy and justice, worship and good works. It's one way that we can let our light shine and our saltiness influence the world around us. Amen.